Well, thank you for your prayers for this afternoon, and let's read a psalm to begin our afternoon service. Let's read out of Psalm 16. Psalm number 16. It says, we'll start at verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my God, thy goodness extendeth to thee. We read this yesterday, and I forget what Edie told me what it was, because it doesn't read right in the King James, that my goodness extendeth not to thee. So I forgot what she told me, because we looked it up, and we said, it implies that God's goodness extendeth to all of us. It is good. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. That's nice. Very, very nice. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasteneth after other gods. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins and my heart also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So typically, if Edie and I would read a psalm like this together, being the 16th day yesterday, we'd say, okay, what did you like out of that? What was one verse that just that you liked? And we can have that discussion. And I don't know, if you look back through that, I'm not sure what verse you'd pick out, because there's lots of good ones, and we can maybe get back to this. But let's sing a hymn together, and then we'll pray. Let's sing hymn 144. Hymn number 144, Receptive Hearers.
Thank you.
Let's kneel and pray together. Father, we do stop and thank Thee for this time together. And Father, even as the psalmist says, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. And Fathers, we come before Thee. We thank Thee that Thou art the author of the word that we're reading. And Father, that Thou art the one that has preserved it for us and written it in truth. That Thou didst move holy men of God by Thy Holy Spirit, that they were able to record this, and we thank Thee for it. And Lord, we thank Thee for David and his heart to record thoughts from Thee. And Lord, we learn many things as we read through this, and we're drawn to it. And even as David said, that it's in Thee do I put my trust, and my soul, Thou has said to the Lord, Thou art my God, and just goes on, and Father, that we are Thy delight, and we thank Thee for that, Lord, and we thank Thee for the truth, even as we can pray over a psalm like this, and we desire, even as David did, to bless the Lord who has given us counsel. And Lord, our heart even instructs us in the night seasons as we think of Thee and meditate on Thee and consider Thee. And obviously our heart instructs us in the daytime as we meditate, Lord, on Thee. And so, Lord, we just thank Thee for this word, and that we can open it and read it and then pray and agree. Our hearts agree with David, and it's a cry of our own heart also. So we thank Thee for that, Lord, and we thank Thee for this time together, and we thank Thee for Thy faithfulness. I know we prayed about going to the women's prison, and were able to go last Sunday. We thank Thee for the blessing that was, and even for those that could attend and share in that blessing. And Lord, one of our prayers was that, Lord, that it would produce fruit, and it would produce lasting fruit. Father, and we pray that even the words and the songs and the time together, Lord, that we pray they produce lasting fruit. And Father, we pray the same for us, Lord, that as we read Thy word, that it would produce lasting fruit in our hearts too, Lord, a fruit that will remain and abide forever. We know that heaven and earth will pass. Father, the things that we see, the things around us are not going to last, and yet eternal things will. Thy word will. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass from Thy word till all be fulfilled, and it'll last forever. So we thank Thee for Thy eternal word, and we thank Thee for each one of us that has a spirit that will last forever, not a body that'll last forever, a spirit that'll last forever, and that, Lord, help us to set Thee always before us, Lord, eternal things. And so grant that, and we pray, and we thank Thee for just many, many blessings. Lord, we think back to the baptisms of it's been a few weeks ago. We thank Thee for the young people, and those are waiting, and we're thankful that hearts are turning to Thee. Preserve them. And we think of that a group of young children up here singing not too long ago. Lord, keep working in their hearts and draw them to Thee, and be with their moms and their dads, that they could teach them Thy word, and could teach them Thy ways, that, Lord, that Thou wouldst make an eternal difference in the lives of each one of those children, and as their Sunday school teachers teach them too. But, Lord, we know that they spend a lot more time with dad and mom, so bless the efforts of the parents, even with the children, of teaching and training and loving them. Father, it's not easy. It's not sometimes even natural, but it's supernatural. By Thy grace and Thy strength, Lord, provide that help, or even for grandchildren also. And just that thou wouldst guide us. And Father, even as we shared this morning and from Matthew, Lord Jesus, thou didst say that pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. First of all, the harvest is plenteous. And we know that, Lord. It seems like it's more and more plenteous as the years go on. The harvest is plenteous, but it was the same way when Jesus, when you walked the earth. The harvest is plenteous. That's obvious. That's a given. That's known. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. He'll send forth laborers into his harvest, just like those people in Romans 16. Father, our desire is to be workers, to be laborers, to wherever thou dost call us, Lord, that we would be faithful to that. And Lord, just give us grace to do that, that we could be laborers in your harvest. And Lord, then also that we could love one another. As a church, that people know that we are Christians by our love. And Father, that we would think the best. And we think of the love chapter, Lord, with all those qualities. To be patient and kind and not jealous and not boastful and not proud and not rude and not selfish and not to become angry easily and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. And Lord, may those characteristics and from thee, Lord, because we know that it's only from thee that that's possible and from thy love. So grant us grace and strength. So we, and again, thanks for this time. It's a really a special time to be here, to read thy word, to think about it, to meditate on it. So God bless it, we pray. Bless our time. And at this Christmas time, just give us wisdom how to reach out to others, when to reach out to others, if we should reach out to others, and even in our family, Lord, the needs that we have in our family, help us to be sensitive to those. Give us the heart that you have, God, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. So thanks for giving Jesus at this time and to become a babe. That's just an amazing example of thy love for us. So we commit all to thee. Be with us, teach us, and guide us. And thanks, Lord, for even as we say that the saints are on the earth, even as we read about, are thy delight, Lord. Thanks for delighting in us. And we don't deserve it, and sometimes we don't even feel it. We don't feel like that thou dost delight in us. And yet we know that it's true. Lord, thank thee so much for delighting in us. We want to respond back. And Lord, tell thee we love thee, even right now. And we do. So help us keep our affections set on thee, on things above. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 16 is a great psalm. It's just kind of a classic psalm, and we say that a lot, don't we? Ooh, this is a good psalm. This is just a classic psalm. Well, let's read out of 1 Corinthians. Let's read out of chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Great chapter. Great, great chapter. Moreover, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the good news, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. And it goes on. It's a beautiful chapter. And we will stop there. What are you thinking of right now? What thoughts are in your mind right at this minute? I don't know. Are you thinking of Psalm 16? Did you think of Psalm 16? I mean, I don't know if you should have, or I don't know even if I should, but I'm definitely thinking of Psalm 16, and I love Psalm 16. And I love 1 Corinthians 15. It falls right together. And keep a finger in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go back to Psalm 16 just for a moment. And as we go back there, let's think about what was the message. And I'm thinking about this right now. See, and I'm feeling a little bit bad right now. But God is a God of second chances. But because last Sunday we went to the prison, and last Saturday I talked to an insurance man, and as I was talking to this insurance man, I thought, how can I get to the gospel? How can I tell him about the Lord? And so I thought, oh man, and my mind was kind of, you know, what? There was no connection, you know, no nothing to, you know, and how do I do this? And so I thought, oh. Yeah, I'm going to prison tomorrow. And I said, sir, would you mind if I just briefly share my testimony with you? Because tomorrow I'm going to prison, and I may be able to share it there. Could I do that just for practice? Could I practice with you? And he said, sure. So I practiced with him just a little bit. And, you know, and I'm thinking right now, because sometimes we practice and we're pretty good at practicing. And sometimes our practice is just not that good. And so now I'm thinking back, and my practice wasn't that good. And neither was, then we were sitting at prison, and I wanted Brother Denny to share. And so it was between Denny and I, maybe, or maybe somebody else, who knows. I mean, we could each have a turn to share. And I thought, oh man, I told that guy I was going to share my testimony at prison, so I better get up and share it. So I thought, okay, I'll share it. But, you know, as I think about this, I think I left out a key part of it. What is the key part? Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, as I think about it, I don't know if I was real clear on that, because that's the most important message, isn't it? That's the most important, Christ's death and burial. And that's what Paul said. I mean, he said, I delivered unto you, verse 3, in 1 Corinthians 15, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I mean, you know, that is the key fact, that Christ died. And if he died, then our sins are forgiven. And we have faith. And we can live the Christian life. And we can walk in peace and joy and wow. And forgiveness. We can walk in forgiveness. What a great thing. Paul says, he said, I'm the least of the apostles in verse 9. I'm the least. I shouldn't even be called apostle. I shouldn't even be called a saint. You know, if we think about it, we shouldn't even be called a saint. You're called a saint? Yes, you are. You are saints. Now, I know often it seems like we hear a lot that, oh, we're just sinners. Oh, we're just sinners. Oh, you know, we're just sinners. Of course we do sin. You know, we sin. But we're saints. I mean, we're called saints. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. You know, we're a special. We're saints. And Paul talks about that. And he said, but the grace of God that was bestowed on me was not in vain. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't deserve it. I shouldn't be called a saint. I shouldn't be called apostle. But God was gracious to me, and he forgave me. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's really awesome. And so Paul delivered this message unto us, and you know, and just to finish that thought at the prison, you know, that should have been that really that needs to be the message at the prison. It needs to be it's the message that we teach, is Christ died for sins according to Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, because that's the hope that is in us, and it's not. And if we just had that hope for this life, we'd be miserable. I like that. If we just have hope in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable, is what it says. You know, I don't want to be a Christian just for this life. I mean, I would, but it's much more than this life. And I look forward to the life to come, that eternal life that we'll have someday, and that we can be forgiven. We're forgiven because of Christ's death. We know that. But back to Psalm 16. And I think of Peter when he preached his first message. What did he talk about? He went back to Rome. He went back to Psalm 16. Now give me just one moment. I'm going to look up the scripture here in this Bible. I just want to see if it has Psalm 16, okay? So give me a moment. You can set the timer. And I don't think you have in your Bible, so just a second, real quick. Ah, there it is. It's there. Nice. I didn't know if it was. I wish I could show you. Okay, there it is. Verse 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, according to the Scriptures. He is buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Psalm 16:10. It's right there. So they refer back to Psalm 16:10. That is the cornerstone of our faith. That's the rock and the foundation. How do you know Jesus died? How do you know he rose again? How do you know he lives today? Well, we know it by faith, but we also know it by prophecy. You say, how do you know that's true? Go back to Psalm 16. Psalm 16:10 says, "For thou will not leave my soul in hell." Talking about Jesus. He's not going to leave Jesus' soul. In another translation, be Shiloh, among the dead. "Thou will not leave my soul among the dead, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Not going to do it. I mean, it could, because he's going to raise Jesus from the dead. When Peter preached, what did Peter preach in Acts? That his first sermon. And I know it's more than just that, but if you go to his first sermon in Acts chapter 2, what he said. Now, so look in Acts 2. Verse 27, and it's right in the middle of his message, and he spoke this, and that's why I still feel a little bad that I didn't talk more about the resurrection of Jesus, because that's the key. Because thou will not, 27, Acts of chapter 2, "Because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." That is so key. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the scripture. Let's look at a couple benefits of God out of Psalm 16. It's such a rich passage. You know, the thought, and I prayed it. Just the fact that verse 3, Psalm 16:3. And this is where we're going to our favorite verses. And this is one thing bad about just me sharing, is because I just get to share my favorite verses. I sometimes struggle with that. I think, why should I only share my favorite verses? That something doesn't seem right there. But you know, that's the way it's set up, isn't it? Drat. Hey, you know, it's the way it works, at least today. Now in 20 years, 10 years, I don't know. But you know what? You could share your favorite verse on the way home. You can talk 15 minutes. There you go. You got 15 minutes to share that. I don't think anybody lives closer than 15 minutes. But anyway, do you like the verse 2, 3? "But to the saints that are in the earth," that's us, that's we're saints, "to the excellent in whom is all my delight." I mean, do we deserve God's delight? I mean, this unbelievable being, just not unbelievable. I mean, in the sense of he's very believable, but it's amazing. It's awesome. His power and his love and his being, his presence, his name. I mean, his name just describes him. His name is not by itself that meaningful, but it describes our Creator God, our Lord, and he delights in us. That's one of the mysteries to me, but it's one of the things I really love about God. Now, this is not the only place it says that. I love Psalm 40, verse 5. It says, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done. And thy thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with thee. And if I were to declare and speak of them, there are too many to count." God's thoughts toward us. You know. So what do you think God is thinking right now? What is he thinking about you? I think he's thinking good thoughts about us. Do we deserve that? No, not necessarily. But, you know, he delights in that. And he delights for us to think about this. And then, what's the response? Verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me." Or another translation says, I'm always thinking about the Lord. You know, it's just a relationship. It's just a relationship. God thinks about us, we think about him. God thinks about us, we think about him. And I thought a little bit about this as I walked beside a teacher down the hall the other day, I think Friday. I said, oh, you know, you got to be careful how you say this and who you say it to and so on. But I said, oh, she's walking there. I said, I've been thinking about you. And she goes, oh, why? I said, because my back is really sore. Because sometimes she walks down the hall very, 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 very slow. And her back is very, 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 very sore. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Your back is bad today, isn't it? Your back's hurting today. So I said, I was thinking about you because I know sometimes you have back, your back's bothering a little bit. I said, my back's bothering me today, and I'm walking real slow. I was thinking about you just walking down the hall. So, I mean, you know, you think about that. Or if you think, I was thinking about my wife. You know, honey, I was thinking about you today. I was thinking good thoughts about you today. You were? What were you thinking? I was thinking you were very kind and very gentle and very merciful and very diligent. I mean, you're making thumbprints, you're making bonbons, you're making lasagna, you're filling the freezer up because Anna's coming on Thursday. And you want to feed her all those good treats and you don't want to be working in the kitchen. I mean, so, you know, you think these good thoughts. I'm thinking good thoughts to Edie. I don't know. Are you thinking good thoughts to me, dear? Maybe. See, that's the relationship. That is the relationship. God thinks good thoughts toward us. It's a mystery. Why does he do that? You think, I'm just a poor, miserable... Well, yeah, you are. Just like Paul. Paul was a poor, miserable... I mean, he said that. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. And I am not meet to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church. I was a sinner. I was just misled and misdirected. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And you know, we can rejoice in that, that God loves us. We love him. I really appreciate that thought, that God is thinking about me. And you know what? At night, he likes to be thought about too. See in verse 7, if you wake up at night, maybe God woke you up to think about him. Everybody else is asleep but you. That's not true. That's why God made a round earth. You know that? So people can always be thinking about him. You know, that's dark on one side, light on the other side. I love that. Anna's birthday, I FaceTimed her right with the class. I said, kids, sing happy birthday to Anna. She's gone to bed and we're up. Let's FaceTime her. Let's sing happy birthday to her. It's great. It's amazing. You know, God made a round earth, so one side awake, the other side asleep. But if he wakes you up at night, you know what your job is? Think about him. That's what Scripture says. I didn't think of that. I'd have never thought of that. I'd have thought of counting sheep. That's what I'd have thought of. But this says, no. Verse 7, my heart shall instruct me in the night seasons. I've set the Lord always before me. And I do have to share this other verse because it's even better. And I like to quote it to Ashley when I leave her room. Psalm 63. I don't even know what verse it is. Is it 6 or 7? Psalm 63. Five and six. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Those are two interesting words, marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So when God wakes you up at night, just talk to him. Talk to him. He's thinking about you. He thinks about you all the time. I love that thought. What else? That's enough. That's way more than enough. But let's finish with 11. And I think this is what Edie shared, that was her favorite verse. Thou will show me the path of life. I am so grateful, dear God. And that's a prayer. Dear God, show me the path of life. In thy presence, there is joy. You, when we meet with God, there's a sense of joy just from his, because he's a comforting God. He's a righteous God. He's a merciful God, he's an inviting God, he's a communicating God, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, we get tired of life on earth a little bit, don't we? I mean, we are looking forward to having Anna coming up. You know what? All of a sudden, Anna, it was awesome. You get on your plane, go goodbye. It's over. You know, you get a big bowl of strawberry shortcake. You think, oh, whoa, strawberry shortcake. I want to enjoy this. Pretty soon it's all over. You look forward to Christmas? It's all over. Man, we worked and worked and worked, and Christmas, so, you know, we planned this and planned. It's over. It's all over. You look forward to get your driver's license. You know, it's over. You know. But in thy with God, there's pleasures forevermore. They last not only on this earth, you know, it lasts forever. That's what a great blessing. And you know, I was taught to end your testimony that way. If you share your testimony, end it with the fact that one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian and giving your life to Jesus is that we have eternal life. Then after this life's over. I mean, isn't that an awesome blessing? That we have eternal life? That, you know, when the strawberry shortcake's done, there will be no, I don't know how it's going to work in heaven, but the strawberry shortcake will not end somehow. If we need strawberry shortcake. My kid says, Dad, are there Barbie dolls in heaven? I said, listen, dear, if it takes Barbie dolls to make you happy, there will be Barbie dolls in heaven. If it does, I'll let that up to God. Will there be horses in heaven? I don't know. But listen, dear, if you need a horse in heaven to be happy, God will get you a horse. Whatever you need, you know, and it'll go on forever. I love that. Let's sing.
Yeah. very nice song. Thank you. One of you brothers close in prayer.
Dear Lord, we just want to come boldly to your throne of grace once again. Thank you for this wonderful afternoon that we get to be around this cloud of witnesses. And thank you for Ron and his sermon this afternoon. I pray for those families that are traveling this even today or around Christmas. I pray just comfort them and keep them safe. And pray just be with those that have lost loved ones recently with the acts of violence and everything else that is going on in the world. I pray just comfort those families and just thank you for your son and thank you that he continues to provide us with endless mercy and love and that it will never end and that we will be able to cherish it in heaven and with our fellow believers. And thank you that for these seasons, even though they pass on, they still come again, but your love, it never fails. And thank you for that. And just pray us all these things in your son's name, would you pray? Amen.